appreciate the opportunity to get up here and talk to you this morning about authority. Bear with me one second. This morning we'll talk a little bit about authority, and mostly this lesson is going to gear us up for this evening to where we'll get into a little bit more of the meat and potatoes, so to say, about authority. I thank Brother JP very much for choosing these songs, selecting these songs, and leading them, doing a very excellent job as he does every Sunday that he gets up and leads us in song, and I do appreciate that very much, so that we're all thinking about the Bible, the authority that's there, the authority of God, and authority that we have to do what we're doing each and every Lord's Day that we come here and take the actions that we do. Thank Brother Damon very much for the words that he spoke this morning at the Lord's table. Not Christ's will, but God's will be done. Hopefully we can all have that same, and do have right now, that same thought process in each action that we take. There are things that we want and things that we desire, but we have to realize those things have to be second to what God wants and what God has demanded from us in the Word. As David spoke this morning in class, he kind of brought up a topic that I'm going to go with here a little bit further about people not accepting the authority of the Word, talking themselves into things that that are not there. And he used an example that I heard just the day before yesterday. A friend of mine I was talking to, he's moved down to Florida, and he's a very good-natured person. His friends, he tries to help out. Truly, he does. He has, we have a mutual friend that has got into drugs, has done some bad things with his life, and Ryan has tried to help him out. He had moved in with Ryan some time ago, and Ryan set down some ground rules. If you're going to live under my roof, this is the way it's going to be. Well, this individual was so very thankful in the beginning, so very happy to be there, that he had a chance to, quote-unquote, start over, that he had changed his life, he was a different person. Well, this individual started coming in high, off of whatever drugs he was using, and just doing a lot of things that basically broke those ground rules. Ultimately, Ryan has kicked this individual out. So now he's out on his own. He has nothing now. He's got no support where he's at down in Florida. He has no family down there. I tell you that to say this. We have the ground rules right here in the Bible. This is our actions. This is what we're supposed to do. If we transgress these, we are separated from God. We are. And back to our feelings. Doesn't matter what we feel. Doesn't matter what we want. This is it, and this is it alone. That's it. And so when you're kicked out, you do have a chance for repentance. But that's exactly what you have to do. You have to repent. There's no way, just by saying, well, I'm sorry, and you continue down that road, can you still be a part of God? Authority, by definition, official power, in short, official power. To authorize would be to give official consent to. So, when we talk about a CEO and a business, he has, oftentimes he'll have several people working for him, below him, and he will authorize them to purchase this or to go and do this. He's the one that has the official power, and he has authorized a lower level person to act this out. Often we think about authority and how others act without having authority. And that almost every Sunday we bring that up in class or in a sermon about how other denominations that are out there, just by the very nature of the way they're set up, they're organized, are they wrong? Because they have gone outside the authority of what God has granted in the Word. What we have to remember is, how about our actions? Do we have the proper authority to do what we do in service? To some people, our actions are done without proper authority. And before we go on, I want to state right now that I believe that everything we do here at this congregation falls directly in line with what is authorized in the Bible. Where we may be questioned as congregation or as individuals, class arrangements, we have separate groups from our group that go down into this classroom here and downstairs. Some say that's not authorized because it's not specifically stated in the Bible. How about female teachers, women teachers? Beth, thank you very much. I appreciate your help going in here and teaching the kids. Same thing with you, Julie. Thank you very much. Dane, thanks for going downstairs. Some people would say that you're wrong for doing that, that we are wrong for allowing that going on, because it's not specifically stated. How about the Lord's Supper? Just a few minutes ago, we passed around the plates. We passed around the communion. We had multiple pieces of unleavened bread in there, and we had multiple cups in there. Because it's not specifically stated, some people would say that we're wrong for doing that. They say there's not one single verse that specifically states any of these issues. I would say that any individual that states that is correct in their assertion, but they're dead wrong in their application. In order to better understand or completely understand authority, we have to understand there are two basic natures with authority. There are inclusive natures and there are exclusive natures about every statement that's made in this Bible by God. By inclusive, including the limiting items mentioned, the Lord authorizes, in other words, the Lord authorizes anything that is necessary and incidental to fulfilling what He authorizes. Exclusive nature, exclusive being to leave out or to keep out. Anything the Lord does not authorize, He excludes. Let's just take two basic examples. Some things we have to understand. What God has set into motion, us as humans, being made in God's image, just for that simple fact, there are some basic laws, quote-unquote, nature, that we follow. They're logical. But, like David was talking about this morning, sometimes we as humans have a tendency to talk ourselves into something that we make it logical. We reason ourselves into thinking that's logical, that makes sense, when in fact it is not. Let's say I have a son, which I don't. Let's say that I'm, tell you what, let's use David as an example. David has two boys. He's got two young boys. And they were known for being a little bit mischievous when they were younger. Let's use Derek as an example. Let's say David gives Derek a $20 bill and he says, "Son, I want you to go to the store and pick me up a loaf of bread and a gallon of milk." Derek leaves. 4 hours later, he comes back. And he has 65 cents left. But he has the milk and he has the bread. Okay? Well, the exclusive nature would be, as David would say, "Where's the rest of that money? I only told you to pick up, I only said milk and bread. That's all I said." Well, his argument would be, "Well, Dad, you didn't say I couldn't go to the arcade and play video games. You didn't say I could go fill my truck up with gasoline. You didn't say that." Well, if you're like David, and you would agree that he's gone beyond the authority of what you granted him to do, then I believe you would agree with me and that there is an exclusive nature in the statements that God makes. How about an inclusive example? Let's say the same scenario. David gives Derek a $20 bill and says, I need you to pick up milk and bread from the grocery store. Let's say he's back in 5 minutes. David says, well, how'd you get there and back so fast? It's only a 2-block walk. He says, well, I got my truck and drove down there. So, well, why did you get in your truck? It's only a 2-block walk. Well, in that instance, David didn't say, you have to walk there. He said, I want you to pick up milk and I want you to pick up bread. So the mode in which he got there was unspecified. Now the same thing was accomplished. The very same thing was accomplished and accomplished in accordance with what he said. But it wasn't as he thought would happen. Okay, in that instance, Derek is right. He's okay. He's done the right thing. Okay, so I think if you agree with me in that, you would understand that there is an inclusive nature in the statements made in this Bible. Believe that there's proof of scriptural authority that's exclusive that exists. Turn to Colossians 3:17, if you would, and we'll read that. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. The phrase, in the name of, means in recognition of the authority. Vine's expository says we must have authority from the Lord Jesus to do all that we do. Let's look at an example here real quick. The Great Commission. Turn to Matthew, the 28th chapter. Verse 16, I'll read 16 through 20. But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. When they saw Him, they worshipped Him, but some were doubtful. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And there's a couple of things we need to point out first in this. Number one, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. What did He specify? He said, make disciples. He said, baptize them. Teach them to observe all things I've commanded you. When He said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth, He didn't say some. He didn't say partially. He said all. A-L-L. Now, later tonight, we'll get into some other sources of authority that sometimes people accept, and they ignore that little three-letter word, that A-L-L word right there. What did He exclude? Did He say, make them athletes? Did He say, sprinkle them? Did He say, teach them chemistry, English, accounting, and health? As we get into, in just a moment, sponsoring church arrangements, we see that that's not what He said. That's not what He said at all. What did He say? He said, make disciples. He said, baptize them. Teach them to observe all things I commanded you. So we see that we don't have authority by what Christ said there to do any of that. And throughout the rest of the Scriptures, the whole New Testament, there's not one mention made of us teaching them a curriculum, teaching anybody a curriculum outside of what the Bible's taught. So teach them all things I've commanded you. Did Christ command the apostles to learn quantum physics and use it? No, He didn't. He did not. The Apostle John directed whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. And he who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father, the Son, the Father and the Son. That's 2 John verse 9. The initial dependent clause of that verse is translated, whosoever goeth onward and abideth not in the teaching of Christ, by the American Standard Version, if we practice or teach what Christ has not authorized, we lose our fellowship with the Father and the Son. And I think you see there that indeed scriptural authority is exclusive. We violate those things which God's commanded. Not only have we lost our fellowship with Christ, the Word, we lose our fellowship with God as well. Well, the next question we need to ask, has an inclusive nature. The Master directed his apostles, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Mark 16 and verse 15. The inspired ministers that he told this to obeyed this command by running, riding in a chariot, and sailing in a ship. You can get that from Acts the 8th chapter, verse 26 through 35, and the 13th chapter, the first four verses. The Lord said not one word about running or riding in a chariot or sailing, but when Philip and Paul and Barnabas took these actions to travel to fulfill what he commanded, what did they do? They still fulfilled what was commanded of them. So I think you see there that does in fact prove that there is an inclusive nature to the commands. And of course, today we have planes and automobiles they didn't have then, and by using those, we are not going outside the authorized means of teaching the Word. Can it be both? The Bible authority is both exclusive and inclusive. Anything the Lord does not authorize, He excludes. But at the same time, what the Lord authorizes includes what is necessary and incidental to fulfilling what He authorizes. So in other words, all those big words, we'll make them little real quick. In other words, if Davina asks me, she says, I want you, when you get home, to do a load of laundry. Okay? The only specific thing she has said to me is to do a load of laundry. That's it. So, if I go outside to the pond, get my washboard, get my soap, and go out there and wring those clothes out, I have still fulfilled what she said. Now, she may not like the clothes being washed in pond water, but still, it's been done. Okay? The same thing could be said about laundry detergent in that matter. It doesn't matter if I use Cheer or All or whatever else is out there. Purex, I think, is one of them. Any one of those that I use, I'll still fulfill the command that she's given. These principles have always been true since the inherent authority and are true in all relationships, as we talked about earlier. Those basic natural laws, just because, like David was talking about earlier this morning in his lesson, we have attributes because of the way God made us that are like Him. He set those natural laws in effect with us. We have a certain understanding. We have a logical understanding of the way things work. So, that could be applicable in family, in government, business, society, and the church. Let's turn to Genesis, the 6th chapter. read verse 13 through 16. Then God said to Noah, "The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. And behold, I am about to destroy them with the earth. Make for yourself an ark of gopher wood. You shall make the ark with rooms and shall cover it inside and out with pitch. This is how you shall make it. The length of the ark, 300 cubits, its breadth, 50 cubits, and its height, 30 cubits. And you shall make a window for the ark and finish it to a cubit from the top, and set the door of the ark in the side of it. You shall make it with lower, second, and third decks." Very specific, as we just talked about in class, and I'm glad David kind of covered this a little bit for me so it's fresh in our mind. But very specific. The authority there was given to him to make it of gopher wood. He gave him the exact dimensions and he told him how he wanted it built inside. There were no tools mentioned in this at all. No tools. Okay? We know that they were necessary to fulfill what God had commanded. The order was exclusive because the Lord specifically commanded that the ark be made of gopher wood. If Noah would have used any other wood to construct the ark, he would have transgressed the command that the Lord gave him. So if he would have said, "Well, I'm running a little short on gopher wood today, so I think I'll go grab some oak." If he would have put one board on that ark, anything else, he would transgress that because the Lord specifically told him gopher wood. Now, some common day application to that, how about music in worship? Music in our worship service. Turn to Colossians 3:16. "Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God." What's the command? The Lord commands us to sing. To sing. That one word is very important. What are some inclusive aspects? The exclusive aspect is what? He commanded us to sing. He didn't command us to play anything. He didn't command us to have choirs. He didn't command us to have one individual get up and do a solo. He commanded us plural, to sing. Some inclusive aspects of that, in which, obviously, the same people that would argue with us about having multiple cups for the communion, multiple pieces of bread, unleavened bread, for the communion, would give us the same argument in these aspects as well. Songbooks, four-part harmony. You honestly think that the apostles and the Christians in the New Testament sang in a four-part harmony? No, that four-part harmony is something relatively new to the music world, not to us today, but as far as music and the history of man. How about a song leader? There's no song leader specifically mentioned, but in order to have a service that is squared away, there needs to be a song leader, or it'd be chaos, would it not? How about a pitch pipe? Pitching a single note, not playing music. As we'll see here, the definition of music, incorporating pleasing, expressive, or intelligible combinations of vocal or instrumental tones to a composition having definite structure and continuity. Pitch pipe, we're not using that as a musical instrument. It is a tool. It helps us. So anyone who would argue otherwise that a single note is the same thing as bringing an organ in here and playing it for services. It's got some misconstrued ideas about what the word music actually means. Exclusive aspects. There are two kinds of music, vocal and instrumental. A cappella and music with accompaniment. Those are the two. Okay? Singing and playing. And what was the command? What was the command? It was to sing. How about in our worship service? God specified the first day of the week. Okay? He also specified in Acts 20 and 7, the Lord's Supper. Also the contribution in 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2. Those things were specified. This excludes a Saturday night service where we observe the Lord's Supper. How about collections during midweek? Let's say the church wants to raise some funds. We say, well, let's get everybody up here on Tuesday night. Let's have a service. And because we want to send Brother So-and-so to the Philippines, we'll take up a collection. Is that authorized? No, it's not. It is not. It was specifically mentioned. And as I alluded to earlier, the organization of the church. The same principles apply to the organization of the church. The only organization that Jesus has authorized to be a part of His church is the local congregation. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2. To the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who have been sanctified in Christ Jesus, saints by calling with all who in every place call on the name of our Lord Christ, their Lord and ours. There's no conglomerate mentioned in the Bible. There's no denomination mentioned in the Bible at all. Everything that's alluded to, every letter that's recorded to us from Corinthians all the way to Ephesians, every church was a local church. They had their own elders. There was no large oversight over the entire group of churches in Asia Minor. Each local church is to be independent of all others, having the oversight of its own affairs. Acts 14 and 23, 1 Peter 5. Let's turn to 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, and read that. Therefore, exhort the elders among you as your own fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ, and partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntary according to the will of God. Not for sordid gain, but with eagerness, nor yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive unfading crown of glory. Nowhere in there, well, and as the verb would suggest, it is a local congregation that he is sending this to, that he is talking to. He's not sending this to every single church, talking about the two or four or six main elders, as some of the denominations would suggest, and say, this is what I want for you to do to all the congregations. This is an example for us. This is where we get our authority from the Bible, and it is talking to a single congregation there. Of course, with can be applied to every other local congregation. The Lord has not specified the arrangement of the church used to teaching. So Bible classes, church bulletins, radio and TV programs, and other teaching arrangements are authorized, though they are not specifically mentioned in the Bible. We had a radio program in Little Rock. There was another sound congregation in Little Rock that had a TV program. That was on one of the cheaper, quote-unquote, cheaper channels there in town. It was a local channel that didn't get a lot of play, but yet they used it as a teaching tool. As long as you're not teaching anything outside the authority that's given to us, you're still accomplishing the same means. Would it be any different than what we've done here in the past, putting an ad in the paper, a large ad, the One True Church that David put together for us to bring people in? It's not. The exclusive aspects about that, it is sinful for evangelical societies, colleges, and benevolent organizations to be attached to the church by means of church contributions because they are additions to the organization God has authorized for the church. We've got a local congregation authorized. That's all it says. That's it. So the example that we talked about earlier with David and his son bringing home video games and a full tank of gas besides the milk and bread, we're adding to that. When we tag these in with the contributions that we just made this morning, if we're supporting some college out there, if we're sending part of our funds to that, that is, whether you want to agree or not, it is now a part of the organization because we're contributing money to it. It's a part of us now because these funds are to go to furthering the church. Well, we've used part of those funds to go to this college or to go to this evangelical society. Now they are part of our organization, and that is not authorized. Only the local congregation is authorized. So what's the problem? Well, those who bind matters of liberty and those who digress from the New Testament pattern err in failing to recognize and apply these principles. Let's look at Matthew, the 16th chapter, and verse 19. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Turn to 1 Peter 4 and 11. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whosoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Christ, Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. What are we talking about here? Speak as the oracles of God. We used that illustration this morning, or that verse this morning, in the class that David had. Speak as the oracles of God. That means to speak just as the Bible has taught us, just as the Bible has spoken. Feelings and wants do not necessitate the authority to take action. We'll look at these two verses here in just a second, and this portion of the lesson will be yours, and we'll break, and hopefully this afternoon, Lord willing, we'll get into a little bit more of the, like I said earlier, the meat and potatoes of authority, a lot more scripture, organization, talking about other sources of authority, and so on. But feelings and wants do not necessitate the authority to take action. They do not. Like we were talking about earlier in class and earlier in this lesson, we can talk ourselves, we can reason ourselves into doing things that are not logical. Number one, they don't follow a logical pattern of the Bible. And number two, they're not what is authorized. But yet, because we feel this society has changed so much, that humankind, that man has changed so much, that it allows us to bend the rules. That's not the case. Turn to Ecclesiastes 7 and 13. Yeah. consider the work of God, for who is able to straighten what he has bent? God has set things into motion. He is the creator. That he has authority to do that. Who are we to charge God that you haven't done this right? That's what this verse says. Who can make straight what God has made crooked, what God has bent? We can't do it. Deuteronomy 32 and 4. Rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are just. A God of faithfulness without injustice, righteous and upright is he. Amen. Amen to that. I'm so very thankful we should be for that. As David illustrated so colorfully with the kings of old that did exactly what they wanted to do. We should be very thankful that the God that we have is a loving God, that He is faithful, that He is just, and He is perfect. What I would like us all to think about in the interim is the authority that we have, the authority that we use to justify what we do. Let's remember how we got there. Think about that each service. Think about, we come here for a reason, we do the things we do, and yet oftentimes we don't question those. We need to question those things. We need to make sure that, is it okay to have a water fountain in this church building? Is it okay to even have a church building? Is it authorized? I'll leave those questions with you to answer as you search the Scriptures to come up with those answers. But I thank you very much. I know probably went a little long this morning, and hopefully I'll be a little bit quicker this evening because we'll have a lot of material to cover tonight too. But thank you very much for your time. I do appreciate it. And I hope that we can all come to the same conclusions about authority in our actions. If there is anyone here this morning that feels they've acted outside of the authorization that God has given us, maybe it's time to consider your ways. Maybe it's time to look at why you're doing the things you're doing. If there's anyone here that needs the prayers of the congregation, that needs help, just strength. Sometimes the saying is very true. There are strength in numbers. That's what each and every one of us is here to do, is to help one another down that narrow path. We'd ask that you come forward now as we sing the song that's been selected.